Amen. Thank you, Matt, worship team. Thank you for really the songs we just sang. I mean, that really actually, to be honest, completely sets up what we're going to be looking at. We're going to be in Genesis 46 and 47. We're going to be flying, so be ready. If I could, I would put my voice on 1.5 and make it a little quicker, but I'll try to do my best. So last week, we were in Genesis chapter 45, and we looked at where Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. He had put them through a number of tests, and finally he revealed himself to them. And he told them that God had sent him ahead to prepare the way so that they could be preserved and he could save their lives. And then he instructed them to return home to bring their father Jacob back because he was ready to take care of him and help them get through the famine. Well, we also learned that it was time to move forward. Joseph was ready to move forward, trying to get his brothers to be willing to move forward as they repented of their sins. And we could see, as we looked through these last several chapters, God working in their hearts and them being sensitive to that. We've also seen God working in Joseph's heart as well. And so it's been really interesting to kind of walk this path. Well, the brothers went back. And they had the task of telling their father that Joseph was still alive. That must have been awkward, right? And we saw that Jacob was like, hey, enough. I want to go see Joseph before I die, right? And so Jacob goes on another journey. So if we look ahead just quickly to Genesis 47, verse 9, this is where I got my sermon title from. Jacob finally meets Pharaoh. We'll get to it. But he tells Pharaoh, my pilgrimage, my journey has lasted 130 years. My years have been few and hard. They have not reached the years of my ancestors during their pilgrimages. And so he's talking about his life is being, it's a journey. He's on a pilgrimage. And so as we look through these next couple chapters, I want us to consider possibly this is Jacob's last journey except for death. What would he say to us as we're on our journey? What would he say? As you journey through life, remember these things. And so here's the first one. As you journey through life, remember to worship God. Worship God. Look at 46:1. It says, Israel set out with all that he had, and he came to Beersheba, and he offered sacrifices to the God of his father, Jacob. So Jacob was excited to go see Joseph, right? He's like, oh man. And he begins this journey, and as he's just beginning his journey, he slows down. He stops to worship God. A significant, serious moment. When Jacob had finished working for Laban, God told Jacob to return to Canaan, the land of promise. The land of promise was where Jacob's family was going to settle. That was where he was going to prosper, right? But now he's on his way to go down to Egypt. And it seems Jacob began thinking about this. And it's like, slow down, gather my thoughts. I need to make sure what I'm doing is right. So Jacob started with worshiping God. As we journey through life, I need to remember. We need to remember to worship God. Our lives are an opportunity to express thanksgiving, gratitude, love in response to all that God has done. That's what worship is. It's declaring that God is worth everything. Amen. And so, think about it. He's just heard that Joseph was alive. For 20 years, he thought Joseph was dead. It was like he had received Joseph back from the dead. It was like his grandpa, Abraham, who was told to sacrifice Isaac. And remember, when God told him to stop, he's like, oh, it's like I received Isaac back from the dead, right? Man, it's amazing. So as we journey through life, we need to remember to worship God. Here's the next one we can see. As you journey through life, remember to keep in step with God's will. keep in step with God's will. It's possible that Jacob stopped because he had remembered the stories his grandpa and his father had told him about going down to Egypt. Do you remember? Things tended to go south when people went to Egypt. Look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 10. There was a famine in the land. Sound familiar? So Abraham, he went down to Egypt to stay there for a while because the famine was in the land. You remember that? They went down, things were crazy, and he goes down and he's worried because Sarah, she was a looker, okay? She was good looking, and he was afraid, and so he told everybody that she was his sister. So you remember, Pharaoh started to cozy up to Sarah, and it was not good. And scripture says that God sent plagues on Egypt and Pharaoh because of what was happening. And Pharaoh figured it out. And he goes to Abram and he's like, what are you doing? Why did you lie? Right? Then Isaac did the same thing. Look at Genesis 26. There was another famine in the land, in addition to the one that had occurred at Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, at Gerar. And the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land that I tell you about. Right? Another famine. God tells Isaac not to go down to Egypt. It makes sense that Jacob wanted to make sure he should go down to Egypt. Don't you think that those stories were shared? Right? So he wanted to keep in step with God's will. You know, as we walk and journey through life, we need to regularly make sure that we're keeping ourselves in line with God's will for our lives. Now, we get interested in where we should go to college. We get interested in what we should do after college. We get concerned about who I'm going to marry, if I'm going to marry, where I'm going to live. All these things are important to consider, right? But we want to be sure that really being in God's will is all about living our lives as a life of worship. It's about offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. It's about living out God's word. If you want to know what God's will is, all we have to do is open up God's word and begin reading it. That's what he wants us. He's more interested in who we are and how we live to glorify him than what college we pick. Now, that's important, right? But as we walk with him, keeping in step with his will. So here's our next one. As you journey through life, remember to listen to God's voice. Check it out, 46. So he sets out. He offers a sacrifice. He begins worshiping God. And look at verse 2. That night, God spoke to Israel in a vision. Jacob, Jacob, he said. And Jacob replied, here I am. Who does that sound like? Anybody? Samuel, right? As we worship God, keep in step with his will, it's important to listen to his voice. It's important to always be willing to say, here I am. Here I am, God. I thought I made these plans. I thought this was what I was supposed to do. And you know what? Hey, here's an opportunity. Maybe God wants me to do this instead. Right? Are we willing to respond to God that way? It's one thing to hear God's voice. It's another to say, here I am, and be willing to obey. Am I making sense? Right? You ever say, hey, go clean your room to your kids? Do they go clean their room right away? Now, some of them, if they're the firstborn and they're a girl, I had all boys. And so, you know, it takes multiple times to say, hey, go clean your room. You know why? Because they put things in their ears. Raisins, no. Just making sure you're awake, okay? It's just that's how we are. We're very, very few times where we're like, okay, here I am, here. And so as we journey through life, that's how we need to be. That's our posture. Here's the next one. As you journey through life, remember, God is with you. That's what we just sang. God is with you. Look at verse 2 again. That night, God spoke to Israel in a vision. Jacob, Jacob, he said. And Jacob replied, here I am. And it goes on. It says, God said, this is cool. I am God, the God of your father. Don't be afraid to go down to Egypt. For I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt. And I will also bring you back. Joseph will close your eyes when you die. So it appears that Jacob was afraid, right? He was fearful. And God needed to reassure Jacob. This would have been so huge for Jacob. We journey through life. We need to remember that God is with us. We don't need to be afraid. Do you remember what God said to Abraham back in Genesis 15? Let's look at it. Abraham was feeling the same pressure. And it says, after these events, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. As you journey through life, don't be afraid. God is your shield. Look at the Psalms all the time. David loved that image. You're my shield, you protect me, you're my refuge, you're my stronghold, I run to you. Amazing, right? Look at what the writer of Hebrews said. Check this out. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have. For he, God himself, said, I will never leave you or abandon you. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 28. Familiar for a lot of us probably. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. That sounds pretty intense, doesn't it? Man, how do we do that, Jesus? We've only been with you for 3 years. Well, here's Jesus' response. And remember, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Wow. Look at Psalm 23:4. Look at what David said. I'm telling you, read the book of Psalms. Just the first 25-50. I said it last week. Read it and you'll see, man, David's life was intense. And he would cry out to God. He says, even when I go through the darkest valley, anybody going through dark valleys? I fear no danger. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You are my shepherd. You are my good shepherd. And we need to remember this. As we journey through life, God is with us. We don't need to be afraid. He never leaves us. Even when people sell us into slavery, even when we sell ourselves into slavery, even when we sin, I mess up. Guess what? God is there. He's there. When we feel like we're in prison, when we feel like God has forgotten about us, if you are a child of God, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, God's word says he will never leave you. Never. It's also important to remember that God told Jacob that he would go with him to Egypt. God's presence isn't confined to a place. That's what makes him different than the other gods of the Old Testament. The gods that the nations worshipped. They thought he would just stick in their land. And God's like, no, I'm God of everywhere. I'll go with you down to Egypt. That's important. As we journey through life, God's with you. So Jacob left Beersheba. He went to Egypt. It says his sons, grandsons, daughters, granddaughters, all his offspring, all their livestock, they head down to Egypt. And then in the text, we have this section about Jacob's family. It's a really fun genealogy. Anybody love reading genealogies? It's the best. Man, Numbers is my favorite book. right? And here's the deal. This is why I think. Now, there's cool things to find in genealogies. There are. But here's the thing. As you journey through life, remember this next thing. People matter to God. People matter to God. Lists aren't very fun, right? Unless your name's in the list. Unless your great-great-great-great-grandpa's name is in the list. Then it's kind of cool. People matter to God. And we need to remember that. There's not one person I will ever look at. There's not one person you will ever look at in the world, in the eye, that God does not love. Check this out. Anybody learn this verse yet? John 3:16. For God so loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Why did God give his Son? Because he loved the world. Not because we were lovely. No. Because he loved us. In Luke 19:10, look what Jesus said. For the Son of Man, Jesus, has come to seek and to save the lost. Look at what Paul said in 1 Timothy. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Take it to the bank. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. Even though we sin, we make mistakes, and we willingly rebel against God, and we start to journey away from him, right? God loves us. And we need to remember that. I want you to know that God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die for your sins, to take your sins and carry them, bear them in his body, carry them away to cleanse you. People matter to God. Therefore, it matters how we treat people. So after the genealogy section, we see that Jacob, he sends Judah ahead. They're getting close. Judah starts to get these really cool leadership skills. You ought to read it. It's interesting. And he goes ahead, and he and Joseph kind of get ready. They get ready, and it says that Joseph hitches up his horses, and he heads to see the rest of his family and to see his dad. And when he gets there, it's so cool. He throws his arms around his father, Jacob, and they weep. They weep and weep. And Jacob says, I'm ready to die now because I have seen your face and you are still alive. Wow. What a reunion. That's pretty cool. So Joseph heads back to tell Pharaoh, hey, my fathers and brothers are here. They've arrived. And then we have this section where Pharaoh meets Joseph's brothers. It's kind of interesting. Moses makes some interesting commentary about them being shepherds and herders and how Egyptians don't really like them. You know, it's kind of interesting. He's like, oh yeah, 400 years later, you know, the Egyptians, they really don't like us, you know. Just kind of interesting, okay? But after this meeting, we're going to look at this. After this meeting, Joseph introduces his dad to Pharaoh. Check this out, verses 7 and 8. We see this. I'm sorry, here's the point. Go to the point. I jumped ahead. Here's the next thing. As we journey through life, remember to be a blessing. Remember to be a blessing. Look at it, verses 7 and 8. Joseph then brought his father Jacob and presented him to Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Now, it's interesting that the text doesn't say how Jacob blessed Pharaoh. It must have been crazy for Jacob, right? What do you give a Pharaoh? He has everything, right? He can do anything he wants. He's the king. But Jacob wanted to be a blessing to Pharaoh. He wanted to bless Pharaoh. And I think some of it is because of how Pharaoh blessed Joseph. Trusted him. Can you imagine being Jacob and arriving in Egypt and seeing all the things that your son has been a part of? And then you meet the guy who gave him the job. He wanted to bless him. Interesting. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 5. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. He goes on, he says, you're the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let my light, shine before others. Why? So that they may see your good works and give glory to who? Your Father in heaven. The greatest way that we can be a blessing to people is by being salt and light. The greatest way that we can be a blessing to people is to point them to Jesus. That's the greatest way. As children of God, we should want to bless people. And here's the next thing. As we journey through life, remember this. Life's a journey. It's kind of redundant, but we need to remember that. Look at it. Verse 7. Joseph brought his father Jacob and presented him to Pharaoh. Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And look at what Pharaoh said. Man, how many years have you lived? You must be old. Jacob's, right? That's how I walk, so I'm only 56. Sometimes the wheels come off, right? But he says, Pharaoh says, how many years have you lived? Look at what Jacob says, verse 9. Jacob said to Pharaoh, my pilgrimage has lasted 130 years. My years have been few and hard, and they've not reached the years of my ancestors during their pilgrimage. Remember, you know, Jacob's dad, Isaac, lived to like in the 140s. Abraham lived into the 150s, I think. Then, you know, you go down the line, the family tree, man, they were living for 900 years, right? And he's like, I've only lived 130 years, and you know, they've been few and hard. Look at how he described his life just really for a little bit here. Jacob described his life as a pilgrimage, a journey. He was moving towards something. Someone. God. He was seeking God and God's promises. Look at how the writer of Hebrews describes the Old Testament saints. This is pretty cool. Hebrews 11:13. These Old Testament saints, these all died in faith, although they had not received the things that were promised. They were believing God's promises. They were trusting God. They're walking with him by faith. But they saw them from a distance. They greeted them and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on the earth. Interesting. Temporary residents on earth. They were on a journey through this world. This world was not their home. Remember, we are on a journey. Look at verse 16. These Old Testament believers, these people who are believers before the writer of Hebrews writes this, he says, but they now desire a better place, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. We need to remember, as we journey through life, life is just a journey. It's a journey. It's about much more than just buying a house. It's about much more than having hobbies or building a business or whatever else we can think of, right? Someday, you and I, we will stand face to face before God. That's what the writer of Ecclesiastes says. And he says, you better be ready. Are you ready? Am I ready? God wants us to seek him in this life. Look at what Paul said in Acts 17. This is kind of crazy. He was in Athens. He's walking around. And even today, you can go there and you can see all these temples. You can see where they were worshiping all these gods, right? And he begins to talk to them about this unknown God. He's like, oh, you have a sense that there's this God you don't know. Well, let me tell you about this God you don't know. And he says this, from one man, he, God, has made every nationality to live over the whole earth and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of where they live. Look at verse 27. He did this so that they might seek God and perhaps they might reach out and find him, though he is not far from each of us. Look at Hebrews 1, 1 through 2. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, we're in the last days. You know we're in the last days? The last days started when Jesus showed up. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. Why did God speak to us through his Son? Well, look at John 1. John describes Jesus as the Word. It's really cool. And he gets to verse 14. He says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Apostle John, the other apostles, he's like, we observed his glory. The glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. Why? Look at 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Amen. He came to bear our sins in his body on the tree. By his wounds, we're healed. So Romans 10, 9, and 10 says this, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One who believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. So Jacob described his life as a pilgrimage, right? And are you using your journey to seek God? What are you seeking? What am I seeking? Here's the next thing. He described his life as short. Short. James will write in the timeline of the Bible, he writes that our lives are like a mist. One time I preached and I brought up Lysol and sprayed it and the front row about died, so I decided not to do it. Greg's like, choking up here, right? But it's like a moment. It's a mist. It's here and it's gone. That's how Jacob described his life, but also look at how he described it. It was hard. As I was thinking about this, I was like, you know, yeah, he made it hard. Remember when he was born? He was a real pain in his brother's side. He was a trickster, tricked his brother out of. Now, his brother Esau wasn't really the best guy either, right? And others made his life hard. Esau wanted to kill him for some of the stuff that Jacob did. And so he runs to Laban. And Laban took advantage of him for 14 years. Man, he made Jacob's life hard. Manual labor for 14 years. Goodness gracious. So he heads back. And it's like, okay. Right? And then his sons make his life hard. And he thinks Joseph is dead for 20 years. I mean, do you think Jacob's life was hard? Do you think when he walked up to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's like, how old are you? It makes some sense, doesn't it? The thing to remember is what we sang about. It's so perfect, those last two songs we sang. Life is hard, but God rescues us. Even when we make our own lives hard, look at Galatians 1. Paul says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of God and the Father. So in the text, man, as you journey through life, remember it's a journey. But it goes on, and Joseph's family goes to Goshen. They settle there, and the famine keeps going. And it gets really bad. And in 47, 13 through 26, we're actually doing pretty good. I'm keeping an eye on the clock. In that section, 47, 13 to 26, we're not there yet. I'm just kind of talking about here. I'm just going to describe it. Here's a quick summary. It starts to get so bad, and the people get desperate. And they're like, we've run out of grain. And Joseph says, okay, well, give me your silver. And like Moses describes it, but now I don't know if all the silver, but Moses is like, Joseph gathered all the silver and gave it to Pharaoh. So here's your food. And they go, and a year goes by, and they run out. And they come to Joseph, and they're like, okay, well, we don't have any silver. And he's like, well, give me your livestock. So they give him the livestock, and he takes the livestock, and he gives it to Pharaoh. A year goes by. They run out of grain. They kind of come up to Pharaoh. Don't have any silver. Don't have any livestock. We'll sell you our land. We just want to survive this. We'll sell you our land. And in fact, you know what? We'll even sell ourselves so that we can get grain. They were so desperate. Okay? And, you know, there's a lot of commentators over here. They're like, hey, man, Joseph was this. He was a great leader. He really rose. And then there's some commentators over here who are like, ah, man, I kind of wrestle with the tension of what he did and all this kind of stuff. That's not the thing that I want to talk about. Here's the thing that I want us to see. It's kind of interesting. The idea is this. Let me go to it. Our next point. As you journey through life, remember to avoid selling out. Don't sell out. The Egyptians became so desperate, they would do anything to survive. And they slowly compromised, they slowly sold out. Life will get desperate, and we will be tempted to do whatever is necessary to just survive. And we will begin to slowly compromise. Keep reading the story. Get to Exodus. Guess what the children of Israel did? Life got desperate, and they sold out. They sold out. It's crazy. As long as you and I have breath, there is hope. The hope is found in Jesus Christ. The hope is found in running to God. Please do not sell out. And here's the last thing. As we journey through life, remember to be faithful. Look at the end. Genesis 47, 27 through 31. Israel settled in the land of Egypt, in the region of Goshen. They acquired property in it and became fruitful and very numerous. Now just pause here. So do you see what Moses did? God inspired him to do this. You have Egypt going through the famine, and they become desperate, and they sell themselves out. Now, right on the heels of that, he describes Israel as being fruitful and numerous. There's a reason he did that. Okay? They're in the Nile River Delta. That's where Goshen is. Great place to have livestock. And so God is contrasting Egypt with his people, right? And it says, 28, now Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. His lifespan was 147 years. When the time approached for him to die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, if I have found favor with you, Put your hand under my thigh and promise me that you will deal with me in kindness and faithfulness. Do not bury me in Egypt. Verse 30, when I rest with my ancestors, carry me away from Egypt and bury me in their burial place. And Joseph answered, I will do what you have asked. And Jacob said, swear to me. So Joseph swore to him. Then Israel bowed in thanks at the head of his bed. As we journey through life, remember to be faithful. Sometimes this is hard. Look at Joseph's family. Do you think it was easy for him to move forward after everything that happened? I'm guessing not. But remember, as we looked at last week, God gives us the strength to move forward. It's always worth it. Be faithful. Be faithful to your family. Be faithful to your husband. Be faithful to your wife. Be faithful to your kids. Kids, be faithful to your parents. Be faithful at work. Be faithful to your friends. As you journey through life, be faithful. It's an amazing, incredible testimony as believers. So how can we apply this? Here's the question. How is your journey going? How's it going? Maybe you're here this morning and you've been coming to High Point Church. You've been invited here. Your friends invited you. Maybe you found us on the internet. Maybe you just heard about us and you've come. And I think probably odds are really high every time you've come, you've heard something about Jesus dying on the cross for your sins to save you. That's a pretty good bet. I'll take that bet. That's the only time I'll bet. Because it is the most important thing. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins yet? Maybe this is the first time you've heard that, and I want to say, would you consider that? Have you thought about that? Will you? Life is short. It's a mist. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. But then also, if you're a believer, have you journeyed away from God? Have I journeyed away from God? If you have, will you come back to him? Will you come to your senses like the prodigal son? Will you repent like Joseph's brothers? And will you be willing to move forward in his strength? Amen. Some pretty amazing things to remember as we journey through life, yes? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. It's so humbling. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for doing everything to secure salvation for us, to make a way for us to be made right with you through Jesus Christ. And I just pray that we would respond as we think about our lives. How are we living it? Will we remember these things? There's many more. But God, may we be faithful. May we love you. May we worship you. And may we rest in the fact that you're amazing and you rescue us and we can go to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.